It's 12:12. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in today for Steve Bertrand on the Wintrust Business Lunch. He is climbing in Iceland today. Actually, I don't know. I think that's exactly what he's doing. He's got a big hike planned with some WGN radio listeners. You can just go to Steve Bertrand Travel to hear about all of his coolest, latest stuff and sign up for one of your own trips. And to find out more about me, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. I'm also the CEO of Best Money Moves. It's an employee benefit that employers give to their employees to help them measure financial stress and dial it down. And you can find out more about that at bestmoneymoves.com. I want to start out, before we get into jobs today, and there's a lot going on with that, but let's start out with the new mortgage interest rates number, the new numbers that came out today from Freddie Mac. I got to tell you, folks, astonishingly, 30-year rates are now averaging, and they're a little bit lower here in Illinois, averaging 3.89%. Okay, this has just been going in the totally opposite direction that it was expected. And at the beginning of the year, I talked to the chief economist at the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, the realtors, Lawrence Yun. Their building is across the street from us. I can see it now. He's actually in D.C., and some of the other chief economists, and I said to them all, where do you think interest rates are going? Where do you think we're going to see them at the end of the year? And to a person, they all said, we think that mortgage interest rates are going to be nearly at 5% by the end of the year. Well, we are halfway through the year. June 8th. Okay, so we're not quite at July 1st, but we're near enough. And mortgage interest rates have dropped again. So the 30-year rate is 3.89% this week. The 15-year rate is, I think, below 3.25%. I mean, just talking about insane deals. And it's no wonder that the housing market is heating up. Now, pending home sales are falling, and that's because there's just simply not enough to buy. I mean, if you're in the North Shore, there's plenty of homes to buy that are, say, $1.25 million to $2 million, because not a lot of people can afford that. And I guess above that rate, it doesn't matter what you pay. But at the lower levels of under $1 million, homes are really moving very quickly, and we're seeing homes move even just days, almost moments after they go on the marketplace, which is just incredible. So what does this mean for you? You know, if you're buying a house, it means you better get yourself pre-approved for a mortgage before you even start looking. Now, according to the generational trends survey that the National Association of Realtors does every year, millennials tend to go out and they're looking online. Everybody starts their search online, but they're looking and doing most of the work online. You really have to put getting the mortgage approval ahead of everything else so that you know exactly what you can afford to spend and can jump in there and make an offer that you know is going to stand up. So that's the first thing to do. If you own a home and you haven't refinanced, I don't know why, because you haven't been listening to me for the last 5 or 7 years, you definitely want to do that. And you definitely want to refinance your house and take advantage of this, because it wasn't so long ago that we were talking about how rates had hit like 4.15%. And while a quarter of a point isn't going to kill you, wouldn't it be nice to have that money in your pocket and not in somebody else's pocket? I think so. Twelve 20. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Steve Bertrand. Welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch. So 8 out of 10 college graduates leave school, mostly this month, and they don't have a job. Part of the reason they don't have a job in this incredible place and time when there just seems to be plenty of jobs around just for the taking is they don't know how to create a resume. So I thought it would be great to have my friend Liz Hanlon come on the show and talk to us a little bit about some of the mistakes that people are making with their resumes. Hey, Liz.
Hey, Elise. How are you? Great to be here.
It's good to have you. So we are talking a little bit about the job market today and what's going on with the economy. And it strikes me that people are making all kinds of mistakes with their resumes. So your company is called Ultimate Resumes. You can find it online at ultimateresumes.com. And, you know, somebody who has looked at maybe tens of thousands of resumes at this point in time, what are the biggest mistakes you're seeing people make?
Some of the biggest mistakes that I see people make are not including information about why they took the job, right? So what were they supposed to be doing? They list things that they were supposed to do, right, in their job.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's all people do. And this extends from college grads all the way up to C-suite executives. But what a lot of times they don't say is, hey, here's why I was hired. I was hired to solve this problem. And then show what they accomplished against that. That's really important information. It's the information, honestly, that's what gets you hired.
What do you do?
Knowing what kinds of problems.
So what do you do if you're a kid and you're coming at a kid, you're 22 years old and you're coming out of college, but you don't really have a lot of on-the-job experience in the area that you've gotten your degree in? How do you position yourself when you don't have, let's say, all the coding experience necessary, but you want a job as a coder?
Well, I think in that case, what you want to do is highlight your education. So, in other words, let's say that, and this would not apply to somebody with many years of experience, but if you are coming right out of college, you want to be a coder, you didn't get internships as a coder for whatever reason, you highlight the classes you took, and you highlight how well you did in them. So let's say that you got a 4.0 in coding. That may not have been your major, depending on what the major was at the college. I would highlight that, absolutely. And then for your jobs, to the extent that you can, you want to highlight anything that you did to improve your workplace while you were there. Even if you were a lifeguard, perhaps you improved processes. For the process of, I was a lifeguard actually in high school. Perhaps you improved the process of chlorinating the pool by doing it at a certain time of day or reducing the amount of manpower. I mean, I'm just kind of making this up, but those are the kinds of things that stand out more than just listing a few things that you did.
So when people talk about resumes, I know that LinkedIn has gotten just so big, and they actually help you, I think, organize at least your background. How do people use LinkedIn more effectively? I've always said, you know, anybody who's listening today can link into me. I'm more than happy to connect you to people if there's somebody in my network that would be interesting for you to talk to. Happy to do that. And I make that offer wide open today, just like I do every day that I'm on the air. But where do people go wrong when it comes to LinkedIn?
I think they go wrong when it comes to LinkedIn is because they think too much about things they've heard about, like keywords. Don't focus on that. Don't focus on what everybody else has told you. Focus on telling your story. What have you done? What did you do to make your workplace a better place? Or how did you increase sales, for example? I'm not suggesting that you list your sales numbers. I don't think you should do that on LinkedIn. But telling your story a little bit instead of just listing a few things you've done, that's a lot more important than just this sort of list that most people do. And a lot of times recruiters are looking for somebody who has solved a particular problem or who's been in a particular situation. So make sure you tell that story.
It's kind of interesting. I think storytelling is clearly a big part of this, but on a resume, you hardly have any words at all. So give me an example of, somebody that you've been working with recently who had a great story to tell, but just didn't quite know how to shrink it down to fit the size.
Well, first of all, don't focus on the size before you focus on the story. A lot of times people do that, and then what happens is they don't tell their story because they're focused on, I have to get my resume on 2 pages or one page or whatever. So that's the first thing. Recently I've been working with a guy who is the head of cybersecurity, information security, for a Fortune 10 company. And he had not been really thinking about the transitions in his life, right? Why he had been recruited from one job to the next. And the truth is, the reason he'd been recruited is because he's great at change management, at leading these large-scale organization changes at companies that are bigger than you and I can wrap our heads around
in
terms of the number of you're really trying to move a large ship, and then within that ship that you're moving, you've got to get all the little departments or big departments to move along with you. That is a huge skill set. If you can do it right, if you can actually do that, you are the man in demand, because everybody, you know, every company wants someone who can do that. So I've been working with him on telling that story and on telling it effectively. And sometimes you just use real words. You say, you know, selected to lead an overarching change across the information technology department. And then that department was used as a model to change the rest of the organization, you know, with over 100 locations globally.
Right. Just, you do get a few numbers in, the really important numbers. You just don't overwhelm it with numbers instead of actually ideas. What is if we just have a minute left, but what do you see as the number one mistake people always make? And I'm going to not allow you to say typos, because we all know that if you have a resume with a typo, people don't like it. But what is the other big mistake?
Come on, Elise, you're making this hard.
Sorry.
I would say the number one mistake that people make is not telling their story. Sometimes, honestly, I feel like they pull clips out of their job descriptions and they don't tell their story. Every single person I've ever talked to had some gift, and letting that gift come across on paper, that's the whole goal of a resume, really. Because the resume has to speak for you when you're not in the room. So assuming that you have a great contact and that person refers you, at some point or the other, that resume is going to be left in a room for somebody else to look at. They want to know, what is this person gifted at? They don't want to know that you were responsible for counting paper clips or whatever some part of your job description was. They want to know, what problem can this person solve for us? And that's why you get hired.
Well, we'll have to have you come back and talk all about networking, because I feel like once you get that resume in order to get the job of your dreams, you really have to find the person who's making that hiring decision and network along the way. But that, I think, will have to wait for another day, except people can go to your website, ultimateresumes.com, and they can send you an email, right?
Yeah, they absolutely can. And I will come back to your show anytime, Elise, because you are just so fun. I love you.
Oh, thank you, Liz. All right. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back in just a moment. Liz Handlin, CEO of UltimateResumes.com. I'm Elise Glink. It's 1229 on WGN Radio. Elise Glink sitting in for Steve Bertrand. You can sign up for my free weekly newsletter at thinkglink.com or link into me. I'm on LinkedIn, happy to connect with you there as well, or on Twitter at bestmoneymoves.com, just all over the internet. No place to hide. We're still waiting for Trump's lawyers to step up and say something, and apparently they're going to. So when they do, we will take that live for you. But in the meantime, we have Fritz Ahadi with us. He is the General Great Lakes Marketing Manager. And, you know, one of the things that is pretty interesting is truck sales. And they've been seen in the past as being a harbinger of the economy. And they have Ford truck sales have been the best last month in 13 years. So, Fritz, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thanks, Elise. Thanks for having me.
So we've got healthy truck sales going on right now. We've got the F-Series, which is the backbone of the Ford business, running at near record levels. What is this telling us? What is it telling you about the economy?
Well, the economy is growing, and that's great. The consumer confidence is up, unemployment's down, housing starts are up, and construction activity is strong, and those are all good indicators for truck sales. So overall auto demand also, whether it's trucks or even utility vehicles, has been very healthy so far this year.
What is it that you think just trucks versus regular cars tells us? Is there any difference between people buying trucks other than gas prices are still really low?
Well, you know, the fuel economy on trucks has improved a lot lately. You can get, for example, a Ford F-150 pickup truck with a 2.7-liter V6 EcoBoost engine that gets 26 miles per gallon. So fuel economy is great on trucks, a lot better than it used to be in the past. So that's not as much of a factor as it was in the past. What we look at is housing starts in construction activity and the growth in the economy.
So one of the things that caught my eye is that, this is the reason we actually bought a new minivan a couple of years ago, the new technology, navigation, some of the other stuff that they're building in, just to assist drivers, just to get rid of some of the blind spots that you have and really just make it so much easier to buy the car. I actually felt like it was the best new car experience I'd had, and now it seems like trucks are being built with all this kind of driver assist technologies. Like backup, if you've got a trailer, 360-degree cameras. What are you seeing in terms of consumer interest in those kinds of technologies?
Well, you're exactly right about the technology on trucks. Trucks today, an F-150 pickup truck or a Super Duty, has as much technology as any other vehicle in our lineup. Great driver assist technology, like you mentioned, like lane keeping assistance, adaptive cruise control with emergency brake assist, things like a 360-degree camera so you can see all around the vehicle. And you mentioned Pro Trailer Backup Assist, where you use the 8-inch screen on the dashboard and you point where you want the trailer to go, and the steering will automatically steer to back up the trailer to where you want it to go. So there's great technology today on trucks.
That's really cool. I didn't realize it could do that. And of course, super helpful because you can't see what's going on back there, even if your truck does have monster wheels on it. Speaking of which, how are monster wheels doing in this booming economy?
Well, you know, I tell you what, we have an F-150 Raptor, which is our kind of off-road version, high-performance version of our F-150. Again, it's called the Raptor, and it's the most popular version of our F-150, and it comes with those monster wheels.
I love those monster wheels, but you really, it's hard to get in a truck with monster wheels in a dress, for sure. Probably something you haven't had to do, but I'll just tell you, that's kind of tough. Hey, Fritz, thank you so much for being with us today. Fritz Ahadi is General Great Lakes Marketing Manager. We appreciate the time.
Thank you, Elise.
All right, enjoy the day.